All right. JT is gone for the next 4 weeks. Pizza party? No, we've been doing that because he's very rigid about that. So today is a continuation of, you know, a while ago I spoke on 1 John and gave a big overview of it. And I knew this part two was going to have to come. And I've been hesitant to wanting to go there. But I went there. So today you get to go there with me too. The thing I'm going to say is entitled, I'm Not Okay, You're Not Okay. And some of you remember a book that was put out in the 60s by a psychiatrist, written, I'm Okay, You're Okay. See, Jackie does. And it was a psychological book pushed at people to begin to believe how much value and worth that they have, that you don't have to stand in the shadow of your parents, that it's not, I'm not okay, my parents are okay, or any other authorities, but I'm okay personally. I'm going to push against that a little bit today, because we are in the church. And the church, Jesus has a different definition of who we are than just me. It doesn't sum up to just me. Almost a year ago, come August, in fact, I had symptoms even now a year ago where my vertebrae were collapsing in my neck. And I was having a lot of symptoms, and I was actually kind of pulled out of work and surgery was scheduled for like November, and they moved it up to August. And they actually fused five of my 7 vertebrae in my neck, which dramatically changed my life and made me sit still for quite a while. You remember me coming with this big neck brace on, and I wore that thing for 3 months and then came out of it, and I'm through it now, but my limitation is very dramatic to me. I can't do a lot with my neck. But during that time, I sat with 1 John, and I couldn't read much, so I listened to 1 John, and I listened to it over every day, and I would go on little walks and listen to 1 John and 1 John and 1 John every day. And all these people kept visiting my house. People like you guys came to my house to talk to me and just to see how I was. And I received letters from people at work and patients from the office, and it was like this overwhelming. To me, it was really quite overwhelming that people would do that, kind of put out themselves for me. So as I heard 1 John, I heard lots of things about that. And I heard in 1 John 1 that God is a triunity. He is 3 in 1. He is the holy other. And that's not H-O-L-Y, that's W-H-O-L-L-Y. There's nothing like him. He is here, and everything else exists underneath him, because there's nothing that exists without him having created it and made it exist. That's God. We cannot parse him apiece. We cannot parse him. We cannot divide him. He is one. He's indivisible, and he exists as eternal community. And I say loving givers, but that's not really quite true. He's an eternal community of self-giving lovers. And lovers is not said in a sexual way. It's being said as God is love. He's an eternal community of self-giving lovers. And God poured out himself and created all of this that you see today. That's God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In 1 John, I was shown that God says he is 3 things. He is life, he is light, and he is love. And he's not these 3 things at certain times. He's not life and light and love. He is all of them at all times in all spaces eternally. He's never one more than another. He's not sometimes more loving than he is life-giving or light-giving. He is all of it at all times, because that is who he is. In 1 John we read, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. God came and he gave us life As his children, he gave us an abundant inside exchanged life. He exchanges his life for ours. We are his called out ones, his redeemed ones, and we participate in this exchanged life through faith. Once we were dead, but now we are made alive. God is also light, and in him was life, and this life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome us. His light indwells us as his called out ones, as his people, and we are now called children of light. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine so that others may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. When the light shines into the hidden places of our lives as believers, and I stressed this last time I talked, when God says to us as light, life, light, and love, and he shows us something about ourselves, our normal earthly response is to hide, to stop coming to church, to hide in the darkness, to stay there because we don't want anyone to know that that's us. And God says, no, I am life, light, and love. And when I light into your life, I want you to embrace me. Embrace what it is I'm showing you because I want to make that new. We're going to see in a minute, God is saying, I want you to put that off and put on something new. And there's no way we can put something off unless he shows his light into our lives. So that's God. God is also love. And we see this very much in a vertical direction. We see this as God loving us. God is love, John says, and in this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. We're very familiar with God loving us. This is this vertical relationship. We're very familiar with it. And we're very familiar with our loving God. Now, we only love God because he first loved us. And the way that we know that we are loving God is he tells us in John. And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps the word in him, truly the love of God is perfected. And so because God came, life, light, and love, because he came, he now has fellowship with us. Because light cannot fellowship with darkness. He has come, made us new, given us his light. So now he fellowships with us. And he made it possible for us to fellowship with him. Ephesians says, be therefore imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. He is the first mover. And because he loves, we love him. So love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. So each Sunday we come here, right? And we all have different motivations for coming. But I think as we come here at New City, you and I are reminded of his love to us. And it's a very important reminder to get weekly like we do here. You and I get reoriented as to whose we are and to whom we do belong. We don't belong to the world. We have put that off. We belong to him, and we need to be reminded of that over and over again. I think you and I get re-energized, and we get refocused on what is important as children of God. Very important things. And I really stress that this I-me relationship with the Holy Other is very important. But what if I stopped right there? Did God stop there? You sure? You know, I'm in pediatrics. And you're right, Nick, God didn't stop there. I'm in pediatrics. And one of the characteristics of two-year-olds, if you put a bunch of two-year-olds into a room and give them a bunch of toys, they'll all play. But they all play by themselves. It's called parallel play. So they can be a lot of playing going on in this room, but every kid is doing their own thing. And the only time they interact is when one kid takes something the other kid took. But you won't see them playing with each other and doing pretend. That comes later in development, like age 3. So if we hold to the vertical relationship of God, God is loving us and we are loving him, and we stay there, we are like a bunch of two-year-olds who sit in a room all together doing our own thing. We are all walking our own Christian life the way we want to walk it, in the timing we want to walk it. That's a two-year-old. No wonder God says, grow up. Stop drinking spiritual milk. What is this growing up? What is this? How do we get out of this parallel play? And this is where I knew that I was going to have to talk about this. In John, 1 John 3. And it's so odd for me to find it in the middle of this book. John says this. And this is the commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. That is the second part. Love one another. Matthew, Jesus is speaking. Teacher, someone asked him, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and the second is like to it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's Jesus. Peter says to the church, now love each other deeply, for love covers a multitude of sin. You see, it's not good enough for me or you to love Jesus alone. So why, this is the question, why did the Lord take this vertical relationship he has with us and we have with him, and why did he weave this horizontal relationship in with each other? It's knitted in. It's not an optional thing. It's knitted in. It's in the fabric. Why did he do this? This is the church. This is the creation of the church, is what it really is. He made the church here when he says love one another. The church. Why? Isn't Jesus and me enough? Isn't Jesus and me enough for flourishing, to let my life flourish with him? Isn't it enough? Shouldn't I, and I alone, be able to live with me in my prayer closet and live a victorious, adventure-filled, abundant, inside, exchange life in Jesus? Isn't Jesus and me walking on the sand enough? You know that? That story, when life gets rough, there's two footprints and then they become one. That's Jesus carrying me in the sand. There's a song I sang when I was a kid. It's Jesus and me for each tomorrow, for every heartache and every sorrow. I know that I can depend upon my newfound friend. It's Jesus and me. Now I have that song in my head the rest of the day. See, Jesus and me, it's not enough. I want it to be so bad. I like me. And I really understand me. As me, I can think whatever way I think is comfortable for me. And I can move at my own pace when I think I'm ready. And I can do whatever me feels I want to do. It really is me do me, and you do you, and absolutely no judging. No judging me. I am walking with Jesus by myself. And I trumped you. You can't beat me. This way, when we live this way, there is peace between us. We really are a room full of two-year-olds. Parallel play. Parallel walking with Jesus. And we've been reduced to a bunch of two-year-olds. God loving we loving God, we loving each other, we see this permanently woven together in 1 John. John does not write about two things, God's love for us and our love for each other. He is writing about one truth. Because this truth is a description of the new creation. It's a description of the church. We are Christ's body. We are his head. The new is the church. The command to love one another is cosmic in its scope. It's cosmic because only God loves. And only God's people can love. No one else can love. No one. But the unique creation of his church and him, love. The new is the we. It's no longer the me. I'm going to read you a bit of 1 John 4, and I want you to notice the we that it's woven in here. If you read 1 John, it's kind of like all over the place. He says this, and he comes back to this, and then he says this. And it's just kind of like he doesn't say it in a nice, straightforward way. And I think, as I hear it and hear it and hear it and read it and read it and read it, it's because he's trying to describe the new thing, the church and God and how God knitted it together. Listen to this in 1 John. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For who does not love his brother whom he has seen? For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God. Cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. Jesus in me is not a true statement within the church. I'm not okay and you're not okay. Not in the church. The belief contradicts the character of the triune God, who's that community, the eternal community of self-giving lovers. It contradicts that. It can't be me do me and you do you. It can't be because of who God is. God, the triunity, is life, light, and love. And since he is at all times life, light, and love, and since he indwells his people, and since we are in him and are his light and we are his light and love, period. Period. Love always lights. And light always loves. We are a community in Christ of loving givers. Let me read you 1 Peter. But Peter says this, but you are not like that. speaking of our past lives, as we were come out of the world and into Christ, into his light, right? So you are not like that, he says, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests. You are a holy nation, God's very own possession. And as a result, Jesus and me will embark on a lifelong journey of self-betterment and self-improvement. Jesus himself will teach me to love myself just as he loves me. And when I reach a point of spiritual maturity, I'll be able to love another. Does that sound right? Because Peter didn't write that. Don't think Peter wrote that. But that's what we believe. I write that because that's what I want to believe. I really want to believe that. We are God's very own possession, and as a result, you can show the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That's why. As light and love, children of God, we are light and love for each other and for this dark world. This is the new reality for the church. This is our reality. This is not necessary. This is not mandatory. This is not recommended. And this is not highly optional. It's none of those things. This is the reality. And it's because this is who God is. And we are in him. This is the church. The creation of the church is really about God, the triunity, the eternal community of self-giving lovers. He changed the me into we in himself. It's we who are a new creation. Now we, the collective we, as one new entity, we are a community never seen before, unique of all God's creation. We are one body in him, in the eternal holy other. He has brought us into him. This is unspeakable. So what is this new we? What is this church that he made? And if you can follow the handout, I'll just be jumping around all through it. It's in Colossians. Now, Colossians 3, I was writing this a long time ago, and I did not plan the reading today to be in Colossians. I'll just have you know it's one of those things. Colossians 3. We are a chosen people by God himself and set apart as holy to the Lord. Verse 12. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. God is the first mover. We are elect. We are holy. We are loved because God took the initiative. He, God loved, God elected, God sanctified, God rescued, God lifed us. God lights us. We were dead in our trespasses and sin, but now are made alive in Christ. We have been made and raised with Christ. We are made new in Christ. And the old has gone and the new has come. Verse 1, since then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds, this is all written to the church, this is written to me or to you, it's written to us. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. We have an old self with its practices, verse 9, which was laid aside and put off at our conversion. Look at verses 5 through 9. This old self, I'm going to take a little rabbit trail here because I think this is important. This old self, that which is earthly, which is to be put to death, which was put off at our conversion, was characterized by sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk. lying to one another in verse 9, seeing that you have put off these things with it, with its practices. We're told to put off at conversion. Now we're told to put on while we walk in this new self. This put off the old self is a recognition that this is and this is important to understand. It wasn't put off, our old selves wasn't put off once at conversion and now it's done. When Paul says here in Colossians to put off the old self, it's a recognition that this is an ongoing, current behavior for all of us. Verse 7 says, you too walked in these ways when you were living in them. It's a continual, ongoing process in the context of the church to put these things off. So we bring this into the church with us, and we are, as a church, to put them off. Because it's not me do me, it's we do we. And it's a statement that these things do not and will no longer define us. This list no longer defines who we are in Christ. Because verse 11 says, because Christ now is all in all. We put on the new self, verse 10, who is being renewed in true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, because Christ is all in all. Within the context of we put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, verse 12, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which all of you were indeed called in one body. Here in this new community, in this new self, the new creation, in the church, there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Verse 11. Piper says, I'm on page seven. Piper says, by creating a new people in his own image and by his own power, God was obliterating the distinctions in which we could boast, distinctions that separated us and made us suspicious and distrustful of each other and jealous and puffed up. His aim, God's aim in creating a new people, was that they would stop boasting about their distinctions that separated them and boast in Christ who unites them. God created a new community, unique and precious to him, and he names this new community his church, his bride. This new community is chosen, it's loved, it's a holy community of people who have sloughed off their old selves and have put on a new self. And the distinguishing mark of this community is that the people in it are no longer identified by the old self. I want to help correct that in some of our thinking. We no longer identify ourselves by what we used to do. We don't identify ourselves by the list of put-offs. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. But now we put them away. We're no longer to be characterized by the titles of angry, filled with malice, slanderers, obscene talkers, and liars. The other thing that we're characterized by is that we stop devoting ourselves to things that separate us. We are no longer to separate Greek from Jew, circumcised from uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free. These new people no longer boast about their ethnic distinctions. We no longer boast about our cultures. We no longer boast about our race or our status, our political interests. Our new identity is Christ is all. In this new community called the church, Christ is all. And because Christ is all, we are given the action to put on. Once in our old selves, we boasted in our culture and our intellect like the Greeks. But now, Christ is all. Once, our personal identities were wrapped up in our traditions and religious knowledge like the Jews. But now, Christ is all. Once we got our significance and strokes from our ethnic pedigrees, but now Christ is all. Once we boasted that we were not like those other people, the barbarians or the Scythians, but now Christ is all. I have an example of that one. There was a man I was counseling who was telling me that he was about ready to have an affair. And I went at him and exhorted him with all the power that I had within me that this was wrong. And as I thought about my response to him, my response were the words were right. My heart was wrong. Because I had to go back to him and apologize. Because I was treating him like a barbarian. I have never done that. Therefore, I'm going to tell you, you should never do that. That is not Christ is all. That is not loving. Once we struggled and to find our significance and our happiness and our security and what we were to other people. We're Jews, we're Greeks, we're circumcised, we're free, we're American, we're of a certain ethnicity, we're rich, we're smart, we're poor. Christ is all. Once we defined ourselves as related to the battle of sin, I'm an addict. I'm addicted to drugs. I'm an addict to porn. I'm an addict with alcohol. Not in the church. Christ is all. Wear it. Christ is all. These things we put off together. They no longer define us. It is not your identity. Christ is all. Once we wore name cards that said, I'm an angry man. I can be filled with wrath and malice, and I can slander. I'm an obscene speaker, or I lie easily. Christ is all. Once we defined ourselves by our personality traits, I'm a worrier, I'm fearful, I'm timid, I'm shy. Christ is all. But then God came and raised us with Christ, and we sloughed off that old self. We put on a new self, and the core of the new self is that Christ is all. Paul says in Galatians, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. We no longer wear these labels. We no longer will describe ourselves by our old self, that which was put off. We no longer claim any identity but Christ. We are a new creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Which means that the new thing about the new self is that Christ and not self is all. Piper says this. And what is so precious about the new self is that for the first time in our lives, we can forget about ourselves and be swallowed up in Christ. For the very first time, the church, unique amongst all of God's creation, unique amongst the world, we are able to forget about ourselves and be swallowed up in Christ. Because the new self and because the new community, the church, is our success, Christ is our significance, Christ is our fulfillment, Christ is our satisfaction, Christ is our security, Christ is our peace, Christ is our all. And because Christ is our all in all, we love God and we love others. And we especially love our brothers and sisters. Can you see why God says love one another in the great commandment? So why did so many of you actually come to my house? Why? It's not because I'm such a nice guy. It's because you are loving God. You are part of God. You were loving me. That's evidence. Why does the sisterhood thrive? And I tell you, they're so vulnerable on that internet thing you guys do. App. Thanks. Thanks for the word. Why is that happening? I'll tell you, it's because Christ is all. What is happening in our city groups? Christ is all. We just didn't happen to come to a church full of nice people. We come to a church filled with redeemed people who push to practice Christ is all. We walk with each other to put off the old. Come on, put on the new. Come on, Christ is all. This doesn't define you anymore. Christ is all. Put it on. There is safety in sharing with each other. There is flourishing in our vulnerability with each other. This is uniquely the church, and we don't do me, and you do you. We do Christ is all. We encourage each other. We remind each other. We teach each other. We mercy each other. We give to each other. We serve each other. We shepherd each other to obey Christ, to rest in Christ, to love Christ, to exercise faith in Christ, to believe in Christ. Because Christ is all and in all. In Christ, we are okay. In Christ. I'm going to have you stand because we're going to do a responsive reading. And it's Colossians again. And JT turned it to the plural because it's written to us, the church. So I'm coming down because up here I feel above you and I'm not. I'm coming down. And I'll read first. Since then we have been raised with Christ. Seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set our minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For we have died, and our life is hidden with Christ in God. Read it from the screen. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in us: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. Read that again. We once walked, but now we must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from our mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that we have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free.
But Christ is all and in all.
Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven us, so we also must forgive. Let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in our hearts to God. This is the word of the Lord.